And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start of their Tuesday. Joe, it was raining on me on the way in this morning, and I forgot that that happens. I forgot that it rains. But it does.
Oh, man.
First time in a while. I've seen it.
Yeah, well, it's like, man, we had thunderstorms a lot overnight. So Gus, you know, Quinn doesn't care, but Gus freaks out the first thing. So Gus is just trembling, clinging to me, which really didn't help the sleep factor much. We're about to get a lot more of it, too. We actually had a JV football game canceled on Independence last night.
Oh, man.
Too. We were about to come back and win, so I don't count that as a loss.
Nope. Nope. The comeback was right around the corner. Speaking of not losing, how about those Detroit Lions last night against the Baltimore Ravens? An impressive victory on the road for the Detroit Lions.
A mighty team that will not yield.
And another game where a very costly Derrick Henry fumble in the game.
I mean, man, I'm feeling for him. 3-3. I didn't even realize because like they blew out Cleveland. He didn't have a big. I didn't even realize he fumbled in that game, but apparently he did.
Yeah.
Obviously, if he doesn't fumble against Buffalo, they win that game. I don't know if they win the game last night, but that was a big play. The Lions got a field goal off it. We ended up kind of blowing them out, but that's a terrible. I feel bad for Derrick Henry. I mean, I think he'll be fine. I saw a stat where it's like he had 3 fumbles in his, you know, in the previous like 3 seasons and however many hundreds of carries, and now he's had like 3 and whatever, you know, 50 carries, 60 carry, whatever it is this season. So I think that's an anomaly. Lions look good. Lions, you know, they still got dudes on offense. And they still had some fun little plays. There's that little handoff to Amon-Ra St. Brown, little flip to Jahmyr Gibbs. They're a fun team. I'm a little worried about the Ravens, that my Super Bowl pick, defensively. Little bit worried, but they were missing some guys last night.
Yeah, my Jair Alexander didn't play, Van Noy didn't play. So
yeah, those are two important players.
They'll get stronger on defense. Really fun week for me when the Packers blow one of the Browns and then everybody else in the NFC North wins. Real good stuff.
Yeah, well, like the and also, I mean, the Bucks and Eagles. If
yeah,
you talk about
stuff.
The race to, you know, be the one seed, the NFC is pretty fun. I'm not ready to count the Lions in on that yet. It's funny though. It's like the schedule. You know, it's like at Cincinnati now is like, oh,
what a
break that is, right? But the Bucks, you have to take them seriously. Obviously, the Eagles. Obviously, the Packers. I still think that's the best D in the league.
Rams are good.
And the Rams were hammering the Eagles. And then, I guess if you want to count the Lions, I still question their D in terms of, you know, being in that all the way. But it's the NFC is, I think it's like, it seems to me stronger than the AFC right now.
It's good, yeah. Jeff from Nebraska says, the rain you experienced this morning, Robbie, was God crying about how awful Nashville's football team is.
Oh, we were trying to avoid talking about that.
We were.
I guess we can't forever, can we?
We can't just put it off forever. So Brian Callahan addressed the media yesterday and faced the music, I guess, kind of, in his Monday press conference following the Titans dropping to 0-3. By the way, big battle in the NFL coming up this weekend. A bunch of 0-3 teams, the Titans and the Texans. So I'm sure the eyeballs will be big for that one across the league this weekend.
Hey, but don't worry because, you know, we got a doubleheader next Monday, including the 0-3 Dolphins and 0-3 Jets.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yay.
Thank God that we all get to see that as well. A lot of good football.
Actually, at least we do have the alternative game, so you don't even have to
just pretend like this one doesn't exist.
Yeah, but it's Bengals-Broncos, so good God.
So Brian Callahan was asked about a lot of things yesterday at his press conference, one of which was from Paul Kuharsky, who essentially asked him, hey, Brian, what do you make of your coaching decisions being a story in 2 out of 3 games so far? Here is what Brian Callahan had to say to that.
You and your decision-making have been a big story 2 out of 3 games coming into this season. Mm-hmm. How bad is that for you that they're not talking about your players, you're addressing things that you decided.
Yeah, I never want any of it to ever be, you know, about me. It's not how I want it to be. It's not how it should be. I don't want it to be about good or bad. It's always supposed to be about our players and what they're doing and what they're doing well and what we got to be better at. But yeah, the conversation about me is not one that I want to continue. It's just the reality of where we're at, being 0-3, and everything is, every single thing gets magnified, and some things haven't worked out for us in those spots, and they're opened up to criticism, and that's the way it goes in the NFL. And yeah, I certainly don't want it to ever be about me.
So that was Brian Callahan and what he had to say yesterday in response to that question. Now, he brought that up a couple of times, Joe, of basically highlighting the record. He's like, you know, the record and how the lack of winning games has magnified everything around here. And I'm sitting there watching it the whole time, and my thought process is pretty simple. And it's just like, this guy just doesn't get it. He just does not understand. And yes, everybody understands what the record is. He's 3-17 as Titans head coach. And we've talked about that. We've gone through it. But again, all of the issues that we've talked about with Brian Callahan to this point this year, I shouldn't say all, most of the issues we've talked about with Brian Callahan to this point this year are independent of the roster, are independent of the end result at the end of the game. It's decision-making in the moment, not 5 minutes after it happened, not 2 hours after it happened, while it's happening, that everybody around him is screaming, going, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Stop! Stop!" And then he does it. Yeah. And that sort of response that he gave yesterday multiple times tells me that he just doesn't get it. He just does not get it. And it worries me to death that means that it's just going to continue as it goes around here.
Yeah, it's like, does he not get it, or is he just will refuse to acknowledge it? He'll refuse to play that game, right? Like, you know, I'm just going to dismiss anything as, yeah, something didn't work out. I mean, like, coaches say that all the time. But like you said, we are not saying, this is not on 3rd-and-1 you ran a flea flicker or whatever. You know, 3rd-and-1 you ran, or 3rd-and-3 you ran and you should have passed. 3rd-and-1 you pass and you should have run. You know, something doesn't work out. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Fine. I agree with coaches who say, oh, great, so something didn't work and, you know, then you all second guess. Again, before a series starts in Denver, it's like, oh, they only have 2 timeouts. There you go. You got the lead at halftime. What are you doing? And then, of course, we've had multiple, and forget about even just the big thing of last week, or, you know, Sunday before halftime. We've had multiple instances also of total lack of aggression,
yeah,
on the plus side of the field. So that's one thing. But again, in the moment, you're like, wait, what are you doing? What are you doing? What's happening? What are you doing? It's not like the play call. It's like the operation was, yeah, a complete bleep show. That is not, oh, yeah, you can just, you know, after the fact. People are watching it in real time and saying, who is running this team?
Well, he's not helping himself in these press conferences. He's really not. Like, and look, I'm not, you know, some media coach or a media expert up there. But, like, I want you to think about some of the moments in the press conferences so far this year. And, again, is it the world's biggest deal at the end of the day? If he was winning, nobody would care. But you get up there and you just totally fumble all over yourself with the explanation of the rule thing with Alec Iomanner. And you say you don't know the rule. You own it the next day by not knowing the rule. You know, that's all me, didn't know the rule. And then halfway through the press conference, you've changed your story on, oh, well, I actually did know the rule. And it's just a mess. And we talked about that. You know, on Sunday against the Colts, and I heard Willie and D-Mace and Adam talking about this yesterday, like the exchange afterwards of the explanation of what happened before half. And, you know, TD, I think, asked him what sort of a message it sent the team. And he was basically like, I don't know. You know, I don't know what message. Like, it was an awful exchange. Like, it just makes him look awful. And then yesterday, he's sitting there talking about how, you know, the record and how bad they are, and everything just magnifies the decisions that he makes. It's like, no, dude. Like, you're bad because you make some of these decisions all the time. You're not helping yourself here. It's been such a disaster of a start, more so than I even thought possible from Brian Callahan to begin this season. And it just doesn't feel like it's going to get any better. The way he's handled this is poor.
Yeah.
Very poor.
you know, it's not, I guess it's not like overly combative, you know. This is one of those, this is a time when, again, you know, like if a coach is combative with media, if things are going well or whatever, or like if their skin's on the wall, like when Vrabel would do it, people are like, yeah, Vrabel. Now if Callahan were doing that now, people would be all over him. But yeah, it's just like, I think he's in survival mode. So I'm just guessing that in his mind, it's like, don't admit anything in public that's already, people are already saying all this stuff about. So don't, I still would argue just fall on the sword. I mean, like, again, either way, like either the results are going to change dramatically for you and you're going to like prove that you can win football games or like
you're done.
Yeah, you're done anyway. So I don't know that it even matters that much, but yeah, it's kind of infuriating, right? Like if you're a fan who closely, you know, follows this team, follows the press conferences and stuff, to not have him just come out and just say it. And also, like there's weirdness, like you said, there was weirdness about the rule. What the heck happened with the, I think we could get into this next, like the K-ball thing.
Yeah.
That was bizarre too, and Glennon tried to press him on that, and
he just would not talk about it.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, so was the K ball, which is, for people who don't know, that's the ball, that's the kicking ball.
Yeah.
So is that an issue, or is that not an issue? It was an issue at halftime, he said, and then it's not now, I guess. I don't know.
It's a lot of weird stuff going on. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get more into that coming up next. Plus, something that Rex Rhodes said a few months ago about a former coach in this state that I wonder if it applies now to this one. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on Brian Callahan as well. Ed on the text line, Joe, asking, when asked about giving up play calling, he said everything was on the table. Do you think that's him saying that or him saying that after a conversation with the front office?
Yeah, that was a good pull there, Ed. That was an interesting moment there where I'm like, it's you know, everything's on the table. That's a throwaway line for coaches. But I kind of felt like there was a little – I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but just the way he answered it, like that actually might be on the table.
I had the opposite reaction.
Really?
I heard him say it, and I was just like, okay, so he's just saying stuff just to say stuff. Like, he said basically the same thing at the end of last year. Hey, look, a lot of coaches do this. This is not a Brian Callahan-specific thing. You know, they've asked Matt LaFleur in Green Bay about this before of, hey, have you considered giving up play calling? He's like, well, if I figured it was the best thing to do for the team, that's what I would do. The way that Callahan answered that yesterday, it kind of felt dismissive to me is my reaction to it. Maybe it's because I'm so cynical on him right now. I don't know.
Now I want to hear it again. Yeah, I actually would like. I wouldn't mind revisiting that at some point. Because yeah, I mean, I think that's usually what it is. For some reason, I was like, oh, so maybe there is something to this, but I could be wrong.
Well, again, as we discussed a couple weeks ago, if they arrive at that decision,
yeah,
come on, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I mean. It, also, like if you're convinced that some of the reasons he's making these gaffes is because he can't handle being the play caller and the head coach at the same time, like, again, what are we doing? And you know, I may even be able to buy that a little bit at times because there are certain situations where things happen so quickly
and
you've got to get the play call in and maybe you don't stop and think about something as long as you should. But the situation the other day, I mean, you had
10
third
minutes.
And two, a timeout by the Colts and a timeout by the Titans. Like that excuse doesn't fly to me in that situation.
It doesn't at all. Yeah, I agree that, excuse me, my goodness, logistically, that can be, like, you can see how that can be a problem at times.
Yeah.
You know, but that's also where, even though these OCs aren't play calling OCs, that's kind of why. You know, I mean, I remember when Callahan came in, you know, and it's like, Zach Taylor talked to a few of us about, like, what he did there. And it's like this base, it's like, yes, technically I'm the play caller, but, like, the whole game plan and, like, the sequencing and all that stuff, like, the OC does everything but just call the play, you know? So that's where the OC here needs to be that for him too. If you have a good operation, then it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I absolutely think so as well. So on the K-ball thing, you know, he told the CBS broadcast at halftime that there were some issues with the K-ball getting it in, and that's what ultimately ended up leading to the delay of game before half. Now, as we pointed out yesterday, you're probably not having those issues if you just make a decision, right? Like if you make a decision coming out of the timeout of, hey, we're definitely going for it, or hey, we're definitely kicking this field goal, and you're not halfway in and then halfway out, you avoid all these issues. Ian, do we have the clip from the K-ball yesterday? He was asked about what happened on Sunday with the K-ball right before half by John Glennon, and here's how that exchange went with Brian Callahan.
I think at halftime in the game, you mentioned the K-ball situation in regards to just before the half, but didn't hear that from you afterwards. How much of that played into the problems there? And I guess if you mentioned that at halftime, why not post-game?
I just alluded to the operation in the post-game, just the operation in general. And again, at the end of the day, just I got to do a better job, put us in a better spot. So there's really not much more to add to it than from what I said post-game. So,
the officials' operation? Our
operation.
K-ball guys' operation?
Our operation as a football team and my operation as a head coach has got to be better than it was in that spot. So, I don't have much more to add to it than that.
There you go. That was the back and forth there on the K-ball situation. Not going into a whole lot of detail there. So, that's what he said at halftime, and then I guess he just didn't want to talk about the K-ball part of it after that.
I don't know. It's like someone said, do not mention K-ball again.
Yeah.
Texter says here, as I continue to struggle to talk, says, to clear up the K-ball issue, as someone who worked in football equipment operations for 10 years, the reason the refs and the ball boy didn't prioritize rotating the K-ball into play during those two timeouts was because they both were given the illusion the Titans were going for. Yeah. The offense is still standing on the field. It makes the referee's operation look bad if they take the game ball out prematurely.
Yeah.
That's 100% on Callahan or whoever the hell is making the calls. That's a long text, but good text.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's very good. I mean, it kind of lines up exactly with what we've been talking about of, hey, if you just make a decision, you probably don't have those operational issues right there. So I think maybe Callahan realizes that and don't want to start talking about the K-ball again in the postgame would be my guess.
Yeah.
As to how that went down. So my question for you is this. You know, I think back to a conversation we had a few months ago, and it actually dated back to Butch Jones, of all people. And what you were talking about was, you know, there reaches a point with a coach where if you're in the media, if you're in the locker room, I think eventually even if you're a fan, like you can see the walls closing in and you can detect when it's like the situation becomes untenable. Like think back to 2017 with Butch Jones, right? Like it became clear pretty quickly that he was going to get fired. Like the walls were closing in. He was going to get fired. He was getting super defensive in the media. What do we want from our media? Like we all remember that press conference, and then he was fired a few weeks later. My question for you is, with how negative it is right now around Brian Callahan, around this franchise. I mean, he's getting booed off the field the other day. People are booing when the owner's walking out there. Burke Nyhill steps to the microphone, and the fans who actually showed up to the game, which weren't very many, but were some, were just giving it to Burke Nyhill and booing him in the Mike Keith ceremony. There's a lot of negativity. They're 3-17 in their last 20 games. Is it to the point in your mind yet, Joe, where you look at Callahan and you say, I mean, this is just untenable. Like you can feel the walls closing in and there's no way out.
Well, the huge difference between the two situations is that, like in college football, and it was different then even than now, because now you have the portal and stuff, but in college football, you start getting decommitments, right? And I don't remember the specifics of that, but it always happens. So in 2017, like you said, you know, they have this crazy win over Georgia Tech where they introduced the turnover trash can, which, hey, everybody made fun of Butch, but I mean, there's a lot of turnover things like that. And we all love him now. Like Lane Kiffin's throwing alley-oops, and we love Lane. You know, Butch is on the cutting edge, but people just don't want to recognize
him. Is there a lot of trash cans?
What's that?
Are there a lot of trash cans? Because I think that's the one I've seen. It's just the trash. The trash can was the thing that got me.
Is that the only one?
Oh, it's just you guys are trash out here. Awesome. That's great.
I mean, that was – like, seriously, though, in 2017, like, how many teams were doing the turnover thing then? Like, they were one of the first.
They were one of the first. See? Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so they go out.
Look at our trash can, baby. We picked off the Georgia Tech quarterback.
I'm trying to think what – oh, that was the year that – oh, God, that was the Gainesville debacle where they
– oh, yeah.
Have five plays on the one, and they're in shotgun, and then they give up the – yeah, okay. Yeah, so anyway, but that's the – that is the difference, right, is that – as soon as recruiting then starts to go the other way on you, especially again in that time when it's all about high school recruiting,
yeah,
and you didn't have this player movement that you have now, like that's when it. So that's the difference in the NFL is, I mean, look, when it comes down to it, like the player acquisition is all built in with the draft and all that stuff. So it's a, I would say that's, that is a huge difference in college football. When a fan base turns on you, even now with things different, to me, that is like just because like it's – I mean, who funds it? Like in the NFL, the owner, the billionaire owns the team and makes money off the team. In college, you're asking rich people to keep giving you money, and what their return on investment is what? You get to like fly in the team plane with us?
Yeah.
You get an awesome seat. You get – come on, come shake coach's hand. I mean, like it's unbelievable how these college programs get these money out of these rich people. It's crazy.
It really is.
It's insane. So the college coach, when it starts to go and then those people are pissed off, you know, it's not this. But I do think – I think it's a good – I think you're onto something in terms of like the embattled kind of nature, the feel around him a little bit, and certainly the fan base without question. Big question to me. It comes down to the locker room. Yep. And it just comes down to – I mean, look. He's well. I shouldn't say obviously. Today is Tuesday. That's Amy's firing day, right? But he's gonna. Yeah, he's gonna.
He's coaching this week.
Yeah, he's gonna get more time. And it's just like if the results don't get, if you don't have some breakthrough results real soon, then yeah, it's just gonna keep snowballing.
A couple more thoughts I want to get to on this front. We'll take your thoughts on Brian Callahan 615-737-1025. Robbie Weinstein will join us at 7 o'clock. We'll get into some Vanderbilt football with him. The SEC and the annual opponents have been put out there for the next 4 years. We'll get into that coming up next hour as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got Charmed on the TV in here. Rex Road's living right.
Hey, get your hands off Alyssa. Like trying to help her like
bake,
make cake batter. Get your hands off her, you weirdo.
Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025.
This is a really bizarre and unsettling scene.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill to the program. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Man, that's some nostalgia right there. Charmed, man. That's a great show.
Oh, yeah.
But
classic.
The more I look kind of like back on things, kind of like how we got here, it's kind of like we didn't really get to see Callahan in these tough moments because Levis last year really overshadowed so much, especially early on. And so we didn't really get opportunities to see like Callahan in the spotlight where he was, or, you know, for the most part is kind of, you know, putting the team at in the not the greatest spots. And the more he talks, it's just like, it's just word vomit coming out. And it's, I'm starting to feel bad for the guy. And I don't, not because I like him or not because like, I'm like, oh, let's give him another chance. But just, I just feel bad for him. I mean, he can't, it doesn't seem like he can help himself. And for whatever reason, like, is it like that he doesn't have anyone in the organization that can help him out at all in these situations? I mean, I know he brought in a new PR guy who was his buddy and all that. But, I mean, is he – like, where is this guy going wrong that is just making all of his words just seem – make him sound so, like, ridiculous? Like, again, in summary, I'm just feeling bad for the guy. Not, and I don't want to see him stick around longer because – I feel bad for him. Trust me. I mean, I'm ready to move on. But I just kind of feel bad for the guy. And I usually root for the underdog, but not this one. So, tighten up.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it.
I really like you, Brian. I'd like you to leave. You know what I think would be best for all of us? If you'd leave. I'm rooting for you, buddy.
I mean, look. as far as the press conference stuff, I really do. Like, I try my best in these type situations, Joe, to be as open-minded as possible because I know how this goes. I know when the coach loses enough and the fan base turns on him, that the press conferences turn into picking apart everything he says and looking for the negative.
Yeah.
Like, I understand.
It all sounds worse.
It all sounds worse. So I try to be cognizant of that. However, like, there are some things that he's done in the press conferences this year that I think are independent of that, where I just look at him like, no, man, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why are you claiming responsibility and taking ownership of not knowing the rule, and then halfway through you're switching up your answer? Like, it just, there's some weird stuff going on that front. And to his point, to Jared's point, just calling in, Joe, I did, tell me if you agree or disagree with this. I watched him at the press conference yesterday, and it kind of felt like a guy that, I'm not going to say defeated, but it felt like a coach that you can tell that the noise is gotten to him.
Yeah. No, I have to think that the noise noise and a combination of that and like the actual reality of the situation. I mean, I wonder how much that's affecting his performance.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and yes, I agree. He just, like, it's the classic embattled coach press conference. In terms of Jared's question there about helping him out, well, first of all, this is not going to go back and, you know, revisit Robbie Boren not being there anymore, because I really don't know the situation now with the new person. But Robbie Boren was really good. Robbie Boren is the type of guy who I think could have helped him. And I think the biggest thing is, like, especially, like, don't change your story.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, the thing on the rule, which, again, almost seemed like it was sort of in the moment where he thought to himself, oh, wait, that's dumb to say I don't know it. No, of course I know the rule. I mean, like, stuff like that. I guess, like, you just, sometimes you do need to plan these things out, and you have to be careful about how you say things. That's just the reality. I mean, ideally, you'd like somebody to just come out there, be honest, and let it go. And that's the funny thing about Callahan, too, is, like, even through all of last year, and of course in the honeymoon early days before they ever played any football for him,
yeah,
he was great in those press conferences, right? It's like, oh my gosh, this is so refreshing compared to Vrabel, you know? But yeah, like, replay yesterday's presser and especially watch the video and then compare it to, like, early days. It is different. He's been beaten down.
And, you know, our TD was on with DVD yesterday, and he didn't say defeated either, but he was like, it's trending in that neighborhood of kind of what he looks like right now. So, yeah, I mean, we all understand it's a bad spot that he's in. I mean, another weird thing from the press conference yesterday, Joe, was, you know, they obviously asked him about the Michael Pittman quote, right? And, you know, Callahan did the, well, I mean, they won the game, and you could say whatever you want to say if you win a game like that. I didn't come away with that same conclusion. And then they asked him the follow-up, basically, of like, well, you know, Jerry Sneed and Roger McCreary basically said you guys didn't have any energy and came out flat. And he was like, well, I don't know anything about that. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, do you really not know anything about that? Or,
well, yeah, I mean, I don't, like, that's the thing. Did he know they said that? I don't know. So you want to talk about, like, PR people. Those are things that you make sure that the coach knows, right?
Yeah.
I mean, now the coach may still say, oh, I didn't see that. You know, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, I'm not aware of that. Not aware of that situation. But, yeah, that whole thing. And his point was, you know, if you watch the game, look, like I said yesterday, did they quit? No, they didn't quit. Again, just watch a few snaps and, like, specifically watch the guys in the trenches and tell me that they quit. You can't, right? But did they have the necessary energy? I mean, you know, I think this team's beaten down too already and lacking confidence, and it just looks like a team that just knows it's going to end up finding a way to lose after, again, just like last year, a really good and in some ways promising first performance on the road.
Yep.
Where you're like, okay, and then it goes wrong for you. Quarterback does it last year, coach does it this year, and it's like, then you can't, all of a sudden that's enough to just, all of a sudden the house starts crumbling on you.
I mean, the more I think about this, the worse I feel for Titans fans. Like, think about the way that their season has begun the last 2 years, right? So you've got the miracle flip in Chicago with Will Levis. You got the Jets coming to town last year where Will Levis is rolling the ball on the ground like he's at a bowling event. You got another block punt in that game. You've got, in week three, Malik Willis coming in and looking like the second coming of Michael Vick out there against your former team. Those are your first three games last year, how you get to 0-3. Then this one, you've got not knowing the rules in the first half debacle in Denver that we're talking about the coach immediately after the game. You got week two that thankfully you didn't have like any huge takeaway storylines there, but you just got your tails beat in the second half by the Rams. And then you got the Colts who just came in and beat you by 20 points and your coach with an all-time fumble in terms of the way he mismanaged the first half. Like the way that the Titans have started the season the last 2 years, if you're a Titans fan, I mean, my goodness, think about that, what you've had to go through.
Wow. Yeah, and then that's all, and that's just a nice little chunk of this, the overall tremendous amount of losing over years. Again, like this is just, this franchise has not had this extended a period of futility since the mid-80s in Houston. So forever, if anybody's listening who is like a Oilers fan who stuck, well, Ed would be.
Yeah.
Ed's an Oilers fan who's been there the whole time. I mean, Ed has not experienced this misery since, like, they, you know, Earl Campbell had hung it up and they were drafting a bunch of really good linemen and finally getting Warren Moon in the NFL. That's how 40 years, man. 40 yeah. freaking years. No, it's unbelievable. Terrell on the text line, driven by WilsonCounty.com, says, last year we kept asking ourselves, does Levis get it? Now we're asking ourselves, does Callahan get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's – again, I don't want to take the Levis conversation too far because I think some have been doing that. Well, maybe it wasn't Levis. It's like, well, no, it can be both. Like, Levis was bad, and maybe Brian Callahan's a bad coach too. But Levis was definitely not good. But, yeah, like it's yeah. – it would be nice for this football team to put together a nice run of competence. Like, even beyond the talent and the wins losses, just put together some competence for a stretch here, which it's been a while since they've done that. I mean, one texter says, you know, Callahan didn't have as many boneheaded decisions managing the game, but the late play calls to the huddle were a regular occurrence for the offense. Most thought it was more to do with Levis, but it's painfully obvious that it's a coaching issue. Liam says, I think Rand getting fired and realizing that he's starting the season on the hot seat has led to these rash decisions, like trying to be aggressive at the end of the half against Denver, and now his whole focus seems to be trying not to make mistakes, which is leading to even more mistakes.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, he's been around this league a long time. He knows how it goes. So any coach in this league, you know, again, they all say it and they're right. You know, you're hired to be fired. These tenures are really short. I think it's shorter than ever in this league. It seems like this. We see so many start and stop so quickly. So, again, I don't know that the firing of Rand is like, I mean, even when he came into the organization, all this stuff had already happened with Vrabel, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, he already knew, okay, this may be an itchy trigger finger owner. As I continue to struggle to speak, I apologize. But I think you may be right. Like, again, like I said it yesterday, like, he just seems at times in his own head.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting one from Jeff from Nebraska, who is a Nebraska fan. He says, Brian sounds identical to his dad, and everyone knew Bill was going to be fired from Nebraska in 2007. Second-guessing, defeated. Yeah.
I can't say that tenure
did not go well.
Yeah. Can't say that I paid close attention to Bill Callahan in Nebraska, but I'll take your word for it.
That was a very controversial move. Hey, let's go to the West Coast. Always, they've been doing the same thing. Of high success as a dominant program for decades. Let's try a little West Coast offense. Didn't go well.
Did not. 6-1-5.
He did bring in Ndamukong Suh, though.
It's true.
That's pretty good.
Should have won the Heisman.
You're damn right he should have.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts to get to on the Brian Callahan front. We will do that. Robbie Weinstein coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get into some Vanderbilt football, the undefeated Vanderbilt Commodores with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. I got some tickets to give away to the Music City Madness as Tennessee takes on Illinois at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, December the 6th. Be caller 2. Rapid fire. Caller 2. 615-737-1025. Caller 2 will win a pair of tickets to Music City Madness as Tennessee takes on Illinois at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, December the 6th. Joe, there is a name that has come up multiple times on the text line today that apparently some Titans fans want to see as the next head coach, so I feel like we have to address it. A lot of people voting for Ed Orgeron to be the next coach of the Tennessee Titans, Joe. Coach O, multiple texts today Coach O.
Okay, is Big Joe one of them? Is this Big Joe's latest trolling attempt?
No. Probably not.
I mean, I saw the one earlier. Josh said something. Who else?
We got another number right here. It says, let me give you a name for the next Titans coach and tell me what you think. Ed Orgeron.
Okay. First of all, we 100% agree. Yes, please.
It'd be awesome.
Don't care. I mean, look, we're used to losing now. This whole town is. So I don't care if they go 0-17. Coach O.
Just be entertaining.
Who just Paul Kowalski? You sound funny, boy. I mean, we need it. Okay, if it's gonna
be using a lot of big words up there, man. Don't like it.
What are you, Columbia?
I'm having a press conference. We're gonna have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah.
So you're not gonna find a bigger fan than me of getting Coach O in here to be the next coach.
I mean, I was bracing, and we've seen a lot of it for all the Gruden. Right, there's a lot of Gruden. Which again, I don't think Gruden's gonna be in the NFL. Also, no. Like Gruden, you know, like. I mean, Gruden has been a very good coach. Are we sure that like Gruden is going to be would be some amazing hire right now in the
NFL? Be better than this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But no, I'm not convinced he would be an amazing hire.
But Coach O, that is not one I had planned for. So let me tell you something. I don't know what he's doing. Every once in a while, there'll be a video on social media, and there'll just be like some like. College kids are, hey, Coach O. And he's like, hey, boy, I'll kick your ass. Yeah. It's like, whoa, don't mess with that guy. Apparently all he does is just lift weights and, like, beat up frat boys. I don't know.
Well, maybe that's what they need. Need a little bit of tough energy around here if you're the Titans.
You know what? He would hold – well, I don't know if he holds people accountable, but he does yell and he's big.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got that going for you. Again, just like Brian Callahan, he helped develop Joe Burrow.
That's true.
So, I mean, you kind of got the link there.
It's true.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you.
Coach Owen 17 says Liam.
We
nice.
Welcome more Coach O. That's good stuff. Alex from Montreal says Gruden hasn't been good since like 08. I mean, I would agree.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's
took a while off doing TV in there, but yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes people on TV. And he's good on TV. I used to really like the QB, whatever that stuff was, right?
QB camp.
Is that
QB
what it was?
Camp, yeah.
Yeah. He's good on TV, but that doesn't always translate. I mean, I remember when the wonderful organization known as the Detroit Lions liked Matt Millen's commentary so much on Fox. They're like, let's make him the GM. Let's go back and look at Matt Millen's record as GM. It's really good.
Oh, man. Now, look. Terry McCormick called in yesterday while you were doing the Rex rant. I heard others talking about this yesterday, you know, placing a lot of importance on this week because it's the Houston game and particularly that it's in Houston. So they're going back to Houston, and if they lose this game, could that be the final straw for Brian Callahan? You know, heading into the season, Joe, I never thought about it that way. Like, the Vrabel game was kind of the natural connection of, all right, well, that kind of sets up to be, you know.
An inflection
point. If they're a bad team by that point and Vrabel comes in with the way that thing ended with Vrabel around here and the emotion that you know the owner's going to have in that and everybody associated with that, like if they come in and just get smoked by New England, could that be the end of it? But I will say, I mean, we have seen some pretty rash decisions get made at the expense of the Houston Texans around here in this organization as well. So,
no doubt.
Maybe this is the week that Brian Callahan really needs to get out there and win a football game.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, again, it is just one way or the other. I'm not saying 100% this is his job. Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's like they could go – you know, they could go play a decent game. Cam could look pretty good. Callahan could have no embarrassing gaffes where the whole league's like, wow, this guy's the worst I've ever seen. And, you know, Amy Adams Strunk still wouldn't be happy with a loss to the Texans, but it's, I think it's like, okay, you can survive that. I mean, like, there's such a – the bar's so low, it's like, don't have embarrassing moments where, like, basic operational stuff is botched. Don't have that, right?
Yeah, don't have embarrassing moments in your 20-point loss.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, can you be competitive? Can you be solid? Can you – so the Titans had how many penalties last game? 8? But they had, what, 4 or 5 declined, right?
Yes.
Can you not have a slew of penalties?
Yeah.
And some, you know, some of these things, and yeah, you know, the quarterback still is what the focal point is. So, again, it's like, what's the result? What's the record he needs? What's the number? You know, is this a win or loss this weekend? Let me see it. Let me see what it looks like.
Keith says, knowing our luck, we'll get 2 wins this season against the Patriots and the Texans, and then we'll be stuck with Callahan.
That's good enough.
If you're going to win some games, make sure it's those two.
Yeah, I got to do what Robbie does. That's good enough.
Way to go.
See?
Way to go.
I got to learn to yell while backing away from the microphone.
You win in Houston, and you take down Vrabel. Maybe that's all it takes to keep your job.
Who 2-15, but it was the right 2. Well, but they play the Texans again.
They do, but I think the one down there means more.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think going back there and winning in Houston, I think that family just loves that.
Yeah.
And I think they're mortified when they lose down there.
Yes, because then you got to go the next day to the fox hunting convention and hear about it from everybody.
You do.
Now, the Mike McCarthy, now that's a name that – people are throwing around that now we're getting a little bit more, to me, realistic.
Yeah.
Let's not start doing that yet.
We're already talking about head coaching replacements. We're going to do it at some point because I think he's going to get fired. I don't know if I have the energy to do it right now.
No. But I'm just saying, I mean, people are throwing it out there.
I know.
So at least a name like that is reasonable. Could happen at some point when we start talking about it, if we start talking about it.
615.
The Titans have got a huge winning streak starting now.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie Weinstein will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on a historic night for Vanderbilt football the other night and the still undefeated Vanderbilt Commodores, a win away from being 5-0 and heading into Alabama a week from now with a big-time showdown coming up. So we'll get into all that with Robbie Weinstein coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.